baby. Woo! Congrats to the Heat. World champ.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show on this Championship Friday where we have crowned a champion in the National Basketball Association. Like Tay said, the Miami Heat are champs. So we'll talk about it. This is Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and thank you for joining us on the show, and welcome back to Ray. He's back in Nueva York, baby. It's good to hear him. Sounds good and crisp. So give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, send us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website. It's on and popping at rayandtaytoday.com. Facebook, Twitter, we're all over the place. We, you know, love talking to writers and athletes and everybody on Facebook and Twitter, as well as fans, man, because, you know, people get at us and talk basketball, sports, football, everything with us. So it's been fun. And Ray, I mean, listen, I guess we don't really have to talk about what we're doing on the show, but you could tell them anyway, because it's all about the Heat, really.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Heat and that amazing 7-game series they had with the Spurs, and we have a back-to-back champion. We have a back-to-back MVP. We'll talk all about that. Before we get into this predominantly basketball show, we'll get into a little bit of baseball, give a couple shout-outs. Hockey, we got a great finals in hockey, and this is one of those rare years where basketball finishes before hockey. Usually it's the other way around.
Exactly.
And then we'll get into it. We'll talk. There's a little bit of rumblings around the NBA, around coaches and moves, especially with Boston and the Clippers, if anything's going to happen. But really, it's all about the Heat. It's all about the NBA Finals. It's all about the Heat and Spurs. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Well, Ray, just on get rid of the bad news first with the NFL. It looks like, you know, they are about to give an obstruction of justice, arrest. The warrant is, I guess, written but not been handed out, and maybe they're talking to Aaron Hernandez, the tight end from the Patriots, his lawyers, and maybe trying to negotiate something. Who knows what's going on? But, a man has been killed and shot. So, at the end of the day, you just want justice for that, and I hope for Aaron Hernandez's sake that he is not really a part of it. It doesn't look too good, though, I will say that. So I wanted to get that out of the way. I don't know what you think about it, if you got much to say about it. But
yeah, you know, I don't want to say much because we don't know all the facts. So a lot of it is speculation, and if the speculation is true, then you know, Aaron Hernandez is in a whole lot of trouble. But more importantly, a man lost his life, right? That's above all. So let's let the facts come out, and then when they do, we'll have a more, you know, informed discussion, because I don't want to overstep my bounds, because I really don't know, you know, the ins and the outs.
Yeah.
Let the legal system.
No, definitely.
Support.
And then just on a nice little note, okay, there are a couple teams with 30 losses. 31 losses. You know, you're talking the Reds, the Pirates are hanging in there, the Braves, Orioles, Red Sox. But, Ray, we have got to crack a beer, tip our hats as we head into, you know, officially summer. It's June 21st. The St. Louis Cardinals at 47 and only 26 losses are incredible. John Jay, Carlos Beltran, who people thought was, you know, basically was done at the Mets.
Yep.
The young pitching staff with Wainwright at, I don't know if he's 11-3 or whatever. I remember he was 10-3. I don't know where he's at now. You know, their pitchers. This is more than impressive. I don't know. I mean, could you even imagine this when they got rid of Pujols over a year ago? I mean,
no. This
is incredible,
right? No way. I thought that they'd be middle of the pack in that pretty stacked NL Central, and you know what? Kudos to that whole organization. Not only that, but they lost Tony La Russa, right? So they lose their manager, they lose their superstar, and they kind of overachieved the year they won. So you figured, all right, they're going to come back to the pack, and this is going to be the time for everybody else, you know, in that division. Nobody knew the Pirates, but certainly people thought, you know, potentially the Brewers would step up, but then they lost Fielder. So, you know, just what can you say? That organization is unbelievable. I mean, a little bit like the Spurs in the sense that, you know, they're just consistently good in the regular season. And, you know, during the Pujols era, won two championships. So whatever they're doing in St. Louis, the formula's working.
Yeah, basically keep doing it. And then in the NHL, which tomorrow night they will have their Game 5, just like the NBA, tied 2-2, like the NBA was. And, you know, the Blackhawks, like the Heat, which Ray and Tay both predicted to win, they've got two out of the next three at home. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, ripping of the goalie, you know. I one thing I'll say about this series, Boston, they've got a lot. I mean, they got Monty, man. They played tough. I think, you know, most people thought the Blackhawks would win, but it's been classic and all the overtimes. It's really incredible. And, you know, we've mentioned Ray and Tay don't get too much into hockey, but we both love playoff hockey and we both love Stanley Cup hockey. So I've checked out a couple games, and I got to say, Ray, it's been fun. You know, I'm not sitting there watching every minute, but overtimes I've seen and the games, and it's been exciting. And, you know, it pulls you in. It pulls you in just like, you know, hey, Tay always says, I love Olympic hockey, but the Stanley Cup Finals pulls you in. It's not that much fighting, and they're just playing great hockey. You know, 6-5 in overtime. They had 11 goals scored last game, you know, for Chicago to tie it up. And I just think it's incredible. Do you still like the Blackhawks, Tay? I mean,
yeah, I still like the Blackhawks. I mean, I think that much like the NBA, you know, this series is going 1-1-1-1-1. There's definitely, you know, this is a critical Game 5. I think the winner of this game wins the series. So just like we both thought that the winner of Game 6 is going to win the series, which turned out to be the Heat, although they you know, were, was it 28 seconds away from losing. The similar situation, I think this is the critical game in hockey. So Winner of this wins it all, I believe, and I'm still going with the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, and I'll say the same, you know, still. I think you said 6, and I said 7, so I still will stick with them. And so before we get to the finals and, you know, serenade and give the love and respect to both teams and the Heat and the great players, I think this Doc Rivers thing, which it turns out Danny Ainge came to Rivers with it. Then the Celtics, Clippers, and the NBA already said that they would not accept sort of the double trade at the same time with a, you know, with the coach. I don't know if it's going to get done, and I think it's really bizarre. I mean, it's not like we haven't sort of seen it before, but if he doesn't, you know, right at this point, can he go back to Boston? I think he's going to have to go to broadcasting because I can't believe the fans would just, oh my gosh. I mean, it's too much flirting. Do you know what I mean? Like, and really, do you think the Celtics would get back? I mean, the Clippers would get back enough. Garnett might have a year or two left at center, although playing with Griffin really would help him and Chris Paul. And then two first round picks and DeAndre Jordan. You know, I don't know. Right. And then the other side deal, I don't know if you heard about this. They were talking about Bledsoe to Orlando for Aaron Aufalo. So
really?
Yeah.
I like that deal for both teams, actually. But especially
frees up Orlando in the draft and not take a point guard, right?
Right. But especially for the Clippers. I mean, you figure that's a luxury to have Eric Bledsoe. And if you do lock up Chris Paul, then, you know, you can use some depth at the two, especially because Chauncey Billups is probably, you know, done, and you like Jamal Crawford off the bench. And Aaron Aufalo gives you some defense. So
yeah,
I
no,
like
it
that,
would be good
I like
for
that
them.
Deal for you know,
and for both teams.
Well, the
not
Magic
bad, not
must
bad
think,
for the Magic.
Magic must think that he's materially better than Jameer Nelson. So they've got.
I think he is when he's given the minutes. you know? I mean,
yeah,
look at Kawhi Leonard and certain players and Paul George. A lot of players have proven if they're given more minutes, they're going to just, you know, they'll improve, experience, and play better. I think Eric Bledsoe is that guy, and I think you've seen enough from him when Chris Paul was out and Billups was out, Bledsoe, so, you know, Bledsoe, he held down the fort and then some. And I think with the draft pick, number two, then you can maybe take the shooting guard, McLemore, if he's there, and Bledsoe and McLemore. That's kind of nice, huh?
Wow, that's a young backcourt. Because remember, Bledsoe came out as a freshman. So he's, what, 20 years old. McLemore's a freshman, so he's probably 19. So you have
a
young...
And Bledsoe's like 21, yeah.
Backcourt.
No,
yeah.
You're right. You're right. So just little news and notes around the NBA. And, you know, people... Look, you still got Lionel Hollins out there, Byron Scott, Brian Shaw, and you still got, what, four or five coaching spots? So it's fascinating. So we'll see how these dominoes fall, and Ray and Tay will definitely be bringing it to you, you know, in the next couple of weeks as we get to, you know, next Thursday, the NBA draft, and July 1st, free agency. So, hey, let's do it. Game 7, 95-88, besides the obvious of LeBron and Wade, and even Battier, which I don't think any of us really thought would happen. You know, we thought it would maybe be somebody. What really stood out to you most in Game 7, Heat-wise and Spur-wise?
So, it's funny because you said don't talk about LeBron and Wade, and
well,
it's so obvious.
You know, I don't mean don't talk about him, but obviously he stood out.
Well, you know what it is? At the end of the day, to make, you know, we'll get into the details, but to make life simple, we had LeBron and you didn't is kind of the answer that the Miami Heat would give. Because
basically,
first observation was the game was sloppy. It was a bad game from a basketball skills perspective. There were too many turnovers, and it's not as if it was great defense. It was more like bad offense. And I thought that, you know, we talked during the game, the Spurs had 16 turnovers and the Spurs had 14 turnovers and the Heat had 16 turnovers. So 30 turnovers in the game, in a game seven, but also just the quality of play offensively. And I don't know if it's because it's game seven of a final series and the teams knew each other, or there was some nerves, or there was just some bad execution or what, but even on the broadcast, Jeff Van Gundy was saying how, you know, the teams look like they're running in molasses, you know, they're sort of running in place. So that was the first observation, that the game was sloppy. The second observation from the Spurs' perspective was that they didn't get knocked out, right? So they stood in there. But the problem was, for them to win, I thought that they'd have to get a lead and defend it, what they couldn't do in game six. But I thought they'd have to win. If the formula for them to win would be to go on a 7-0, they did go on a 7-0 stretch, but they'd have to go on a 7-0, 8-0, 9-0 run in the third or fourth quarter. And I just felt like they didn't have that gear. They didn't have that
they were exhausted,
year,
right?
And they were exhausted. And then the problem was that the one-on-one talent and creating your own shot ability of LeBron and then Wade as well, you felt like the Spurs didn't have that in this game. So Tony Parker can get his own shot. Manu Ginobili can get his own shot. And Tim Duncan can get his own shot. But in this game, especially in the fourth quarter when it was close, they weren't able to. They weren't dynamic enough, you know, on offense. And so,
but let me ask you, how much of that was Parker's health? I think he, besides the hamstring and his exhaustion, because he's not, you know, let's not go with the minutes for him because he's only 31. I just think he really had no legs left. 37 minutes, 3 for 12, but he really couldn't. Number one, LeBron's defense. Let's give LeBron some credit. His defense on Parker was incredible. But I felt the reason why I think Pop benched him at the end is because he was like, he can't give me anything. because people were shocked that, you know, Parker's on the bench for, like, you know, the last clutch plays in a couple of minutes. And to me, he was 3 for 12 and 4 for 4 from the line, but he had no legs. He didn't look like he could do anything. And he was ineffective anyway, but I just think he had nothing left.
Well, that's final observation. Role players are role players for a reason.
Yes, role players.
Danny Green.
Except Leonard. Leonard's not a role player anymore.
Well, Leonard's not a role player. He's just young. He's 21 years old,
yeah.
but he's a bona fide NBA. I don't want to call him a star yet, but he's legit. I mean, he's not a role player.
He's a legit starter at small forward in the NBA,
yes.
Offensively and defensively, definitely.
Yes, and he'll grow into one of the better players, and certainly at his position in the NBA. But
definitely.
But Danny Green was asked to do more than he's capable of. On the road game seven, when the defense was focused on him, we saw why he's a role player. And it's
and
no
Garen
knock
Neal.
Against him. This is no knock against him. But when when role players give you something when you're not expecting it, so like Battier did and like Mike Miller did last year in the finals, then that's when they're at their best. When you ask role players to give you something, and this is when the big three was either hurting or not in the game, two of the three were not in the game, Danny Green was, maybe he took it upon himself, maybe Pop asked him to do it, maybe, I don't know how it got to that, but his mindset was, I need to create my own shot and score, and that's not his game. He is good on wide open, you know, pass the ball around, ball rotation, typical San Antonio. You know, they led the league in assists, so typical San Antonio offense. It's not his game to create his own shot. And then when he had to, you saw the flaws in his game. So another reason why you tend to play to your, you know, in baseball, you know, they like the back of your card, right? So you tend to play to the back of your card. He had a great first 4 or 5 games, but when the chips were on the table and everybody was revealed and the strategy was revealed and you're 7 games into a 7-game series, you saw why he's a role player. And
well, give him a little credit though, right? Because I will say this, yes, he is a role player, but he set the all-time record. I mean, the dude
he did unbelievable
for 5 games was he's in the stats for all time. I mean, that's incredible. 27 three-pointers made, you know, broke Ray Allen's record of 25. That's incredible. But this is what I want to say to you, because I agree with everything you just said, but I got to be critical of both coaches. I've been killing Spoelstra the whole series, and my critiques have been dead on, because in Game 6 and 7, when he played more size of Chris Anderson, who had 2 DNPs in this series, which is absurd to me, Chris Anderson brought the energy, offensive rebounds, and just rebounds in general, and even fouls and defense and Duncan to just sort of help the Heat out, because I just don't think Bosch, he's a 4 to me. When you have him at center, you know, you have Duncan with 25 in the first half in Game 6. But let me say this. Boris Diaw, Ray, played very well in this series. In Game 7, 13 minutes. When you have Danny Green playing 36 minutes and Neal's playing 26, to me, you know, forget about Splitter and Corey Joseph doesn't play, but I think Diaw needed to play more than 13 minutes. And Diaw in this series has played a little bit of 3, 4, and 5 and played LeBron James very well. And so to me, not to play Diaw more in this game, I was a little shocked, and I think it was actually a mistake, because he had proven that he could give you offense, a little bit of defense, and hustle and loose ball plays.
And even though he's not your traditional, you know, 6'9", he creates problems, because he can hit that big shot, and then right after he hit big shot, he had that assist to Duncan. So he's much more dynamic offensively, and he makes, you know, it's like a chess game. By putting him in, you make Miami have to, you know, counter with a move. So I agree, and he was an integral part of their team last year. So Popovich, the one thing you can say is he rocks the boat, and he definitely rocks the boat on his rotations and on the people he plays in certain situations. And I agree with you 100%. Boris Diaw, to me, needed to play more, especially because he went so small. And, you know, maybe he felt that Miami was too athletic. And if Miami put all of their athletes, so if they put LeBron at the four, let's say Bosh at the five, and then...
But he had Battier in there. And to me, that's where you can't tell me Battier just sitting out there hitting threes, 18 points, six threes, that Boris Diaw couldn't have played more minutes and played with Battier. He totally could have. And probably would have done a better job, because you had Danny Green or Parker sometimes sticking Battier, you know, because, you know, Leonard was on LeBron most of the night.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of baffled by that. I got to be honest.
Well, both,
you know,
coaches,
that one,
you can question their rotations. And the
oh,
DMT,
yeah. Well,
right? It's one thing to cut a guy's minutes from 25 to 15, but to give him a couple DMPs, so Battier, like you said, Birdman and Battier, two DMPs for one and one DMP for another, three DMPs for two guys who ended up playing critical roles.
And Battier was DMP game seven against the Pacers, so that's, you know. And have them play 2 minutes last night. That's incredible to me. Game six and game seven, have them barely play, but to,
when
game seven, have them play
the
two minutes.
Was in foul trouble.
But Battier was able to sort of, you know, fulfill that and give you the 29 minutes. I mean, look at that. 29 minutes from Battier. You can't tell me. And Diaw gets 13 minutes. Chris Anderson played 19. Ray Allen, the veteran. Wow. You know, Ray didn't score this game, you know, in terms of, like, giving you, you know, real anything offensively, but hit the greatest shot ever in game six. Didn't look down, Ray. He stepped back like it was just unconsciously. It is so funny. Bill Simmons from ABC was like OCD-like. You know, he was just stepped back and hit that three in the corner after Bosh got the most, you know, the clutchest rebound probably in a game six ever. But in 20 minutes, Ray Allen was 0 for 4, 0 for 2 from the free throw line. But four rebounds, you know, I mean, gives you four assists. And obviously, in 20 minutes, he was a threat.
Yeah, hold on. We got a caller. Let's pull in this caller.
Yeah.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay today.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, great, great. We're talking some NBA. You got some NBA on your mind? What's going on?
What did you think about
the
finals?
Well, my whole entire family, we were sitting down and watching Game 7. And, you know, it was a pretty close game, but LeBron was just going. It was outrageous how many points he had. And I thought, didn't you think it was a little unfair how LeBron was doing so good? He had the best night probably during the game series, the Champions Series. Do you think it was a little unfair? And since the guys won yesterday, it was so close, because Magic Johnson said that it's harder to come back from a close battle than a total blowout. Do you think that sort of lowered the charisma of the San Antonio Spurs and helped LeBron? Do you think it was a little unfair?
Unfair in what way? Like, what do you mean what was unfair? Because you're saying they were so tired from game six, or... Hello?
Hello, caller, you still there? I think the caller dropped. I think where he's going with this is, look, it's a great question, because, you know, Magic, and especially because Magic, remember, Magic was blown out. Remember that, what was that, Memorial Day massacre, where they get blown out by 30 or 40 in 87. They didn't come back and win the series, or with 85. But, look, LeBron James, at the end of the day, was the best player in this series, the best player on the court, and he frankly earned everything that is due to him, because he had all the pressure in the world, and everybody would have called him an unaccomplished superstar despite winning four MVPs and despite winning one championship if they hadn't pulled out game six and then game seven. And like we said, he was the best player on the court last night, and he was the sole reason that Miami won. I mean, the guy had, what, 37, 12?
Yeah, but 5 for 10 from three-point range, where everybody has ripped him, and this season shot, you know, 40% from there. Give LeBron credit, man. He really attacked what they gave him, But I still think in game six, he was still a little passive through the first three quarters, 3 for 12, and then game four went to the post and got aggressive. And I still, that's my one critique of LeBron, even though, like, I got to totally praise him, you know, today. And obviously I think he's an all-time, you know, just amazing player, because I put him four all-time in our top 15, and you have him at 9, you know, just projecting forward. But to me, you know, LeBron plays the game not just the right way, but he's so smart. I think he's smarter than sometimes even the analyst and everybody that critiques him. And I think Magic sees that and sort of gives him that love and respect. It was great to see Magic and LeBron just sort of talk
after
the game.
Yeah, hold on. I think we got another caller.
Yeah, definitely,
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay today.
Hey, what's happening, gentlemen? How y'all doing? My name is Macau.
Hey, Macau, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing all right.
What's on your mind?
I'm loving the conversation. Especially with the gentleman was just speaking about LeBron, I 100% agree with that. You know, a lot of these analysts and a lot of these media types, they are now rendered to just hate now. You know, because for right now, it is unquestioned that LeBron James is the best player on the planet. There is no other argument. You know what I mean?
Totally right, man.
Now, I am not a LeBron fan. You know what I mean? I like the Lakers. I believe purple and gold. You know, Kobe's my dude. He hurt. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I recognize this young man's talent, and I'm seeing just, you know, too much sway to just to bash him. I mean, for like no real good reason, you know what I mean? Cause all I saw was the boy played, like you said, in game six, he was a bit passive, and that's what he needs to learn, and that's what he needs to adjust. But hell, if that's the only thing he needs to learn and adjust, really?
You're right.
Really? No, you have a great
exactly.
point. And you know what's interesting is that the we've never had a guy with his physical talents, right? And so it's easy to say, oh, he should be shooting more. Oh, he should be driving more. Oh, because he can do all of that, right? He has no limits in his game. And so because he's got the ability to score at will and defend, and it turns out that we haven't been giving him credit. It turns out this guy might be one of the smartest basketball players also. So not only is he physically probably more gifted than anybody we've ever seen, but he's reading the court. He's analyzing the court. He's like the quarterback in football. So his mind is running at warp speed, and his physical capabilities are unparalleled. So, you know, the unfortunate part is now the expectations are through the roof that he'll play a perfect game. And we know nobody does that. But you're right.
Nobody plays that. Nobody.
Well, let me ask you real quick, though, Makai, as a Laker fan, right? When you see, and I just want to draw this analogy to you because I know you can relate as a Laker fan, when you see Bosh sort of disappear in the Pacers series a little bit and also in the Heat series, although, you know, he sort of kept them alive, you know, what he did at the end of Game 6. But to, you know, get no points and 0 for 5 and 0 for 1 hit trying to 3 and, you know, shooting all these jumpers, do you sort of see him almost in a sense like a Paul Gasol sometimes where Gasol is so clutch and can do so many things and so talented for you, you know, helped you in that Game 7 to beat Boston when Kobe didn't have a great night. But do you see the two of them sometimes, like, with all this skill and ability where they shoot too many jumpers and then also disappear? How do you feel about that as a Laker fan comparing, like, Gasol and Bosch?
I definitely agree with that, but I would give the edge to Gasol to be just a little bit more clutch. Not that much, but just enough. And I think that the acquisition of Gasol was just perfect. I really didn't see how good it was until they played on the floor, and I really got an appreciation for Gasol. He plays perfect with Kobe. I mean, perfect. I mean, absolutely. But Bosch just sometimes he just disappears too much for me, and I think that's got to do with him playing the five, and he needs to be at the four. And,
thank you.
He needs to be at the four. He is all four, but that's no excuse for Timmy Duncan just just abusing him the way he did. I mean, he just abused that boy. But,
yeah.
You know, Timmy is one of the greatest power forwards of all time.
Number one.
I definitely give my hats off to him for that. It was something I wanted to just ask you guys. It was something that we were just talking about, and I lost my train of thought when you asked me.
Maybe, but was it Spurs or Heat? Was it Ginobili, Parker? Did you like Leonard's game?
Yeah, I like Leonard's game. What I was gonna say was my cousin and I go back and forth about LeBron, and the thing, it's funny how you guys just totally get it, and I'm happy because I'm always arguing with my cousin about this. He always argues that the reason why LeBron isn't great is because he doesn't have the killer instinct. And
No.
And my response is, look, LeBron has every other attribute. You know what I mean? He just has to grow more into that killer instinct. Just like when Mike always had that killer instinct. He was always going to shoot, but he had to learn how to pass. He had to.
Yes.
He had to.
Yep.
So did Kobe. Kobe had to learn that too. LeBron already had those attributes coming in, straight out.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing.
No, you're totally right. And Wade has helped LeBron develop more of that killer instinct because Wade is sort of more of the ilk of Kobe and Jordan. Because, look, the greatest assassin on the basketball court ever is Michael Jordan. And then Kobe's sort of like his young nephew, right? Now, LeBron with all the other attributes, but Wade, I mean, look at last night, right? We both know Wade, both of his knees are jacked up. He played 39 minutes, gave you 23 and 10. And
that
I think
dude is
he,
all heart.
Oh, he's incredible. Wade is incredible, and I think it also teaches, in a way, he sort of, you know, with two block shots, an assist, a steal, he teaches LeBron, even though we say, like, LeBron is sort of like the savant on the basketball court, he's a genius, but I think Wade's sort of, you know, swag sort of teaches and helps LeBron each year.
Guess
what? You know what's crazy? Next year, LeBron might be even a little bit better.
Yeah. And that's
what's crazy.
And that's crazy. If he gets that swag like that,
mm-hmm.
I mean it's just gonna be unstopping him. No stopping him.
LeBron, if you think about it, Michael Jordan won the title in his seventh year. This just hit me. LeBron wins his back to back titles in his 10th year, but LeBron didn't go to college. So Michael was able to play 3 years at Carolina, and in his first year, obviously won the championship when he hit that jumper, you know, on the baseline. But
LeBron is sort of on a pace ahead of him. They were talking about it today.
Now, if you think about it, LeBron, the last 2 years with what he's gone through, or 3 years, you know, losing once and then winning back to back. Why isn't LeBron? I mean, you know, people talk about this killer instinct. To me, LeBron's grown into that. I mean, what more can you do than help your team win, you know, in elimination games, right? Indiana had him by the ropes last year. Indiana took him to Game 7 this year. The Spurs could easily have won Game 6, but LeBron willed his team to win. What more can you do? So this notion of no killer instinct, maybe 2-3 years ago you could have said that, but I think these 12 finals and these 13 finals – you know, I think you got to put that to rest. I think you got to say, look,
yeah, it's
LeBron,
over.
It's over. Yeah, it's all about LeBron. And now it's just a matter of can you grow into – now LeBron needs to be having dinner with Jordan, with Russell, with Magic. Now you got to learn how to win from ahead. You know, you got to learn how to keep people motivated, keep people hungry, and learn how to win when you're the target on everybody. You know, every night – if somebody beats you, that's like making their season, the two-time defending champ.
Right.
So that's what you got to work on. But that killer instinct is there. I mean, LeBron, he may never be Jordan, but from the killer instinct, or even Kobe from the killer perspective, but he's an assassin in his own right now. He does it differently, but he is now.
And he doesn't have to be. That's the thing that kills me. He does not have to be like Mike. He don't.
You're right.
He don't even have to be better than Mike. That young man has a talent in his own right, and that's what I respect. That's what I respect. It's
going to
suck. It's going to suck for my Lakers.
Well, listen, I want to ask you this. Makai, great call, and before we let you go, let me ask you this. Is Kobe Bean Bryant going to come back for at least one more, if not 2 years, and at least retire sort of showing us some health and that he's, you know, not like everybody else? Because I think he's so stubborn. He can't end his career like this.
No, he's coming back. He's definitely coming back. Whether he will be the Kobe Bean Bryant that we know, And honestly, I don't think so. I'm just, you know, he's the only thing I can cling on to now because Dwight Howard's a joke. He needs to go. You know, that whole Laker mess there, I don't even know if it's going to be able to be fixed. I got the ultimate respect and trust in Mitch Kupchak, but Buss Jr., I'm just not feeling him. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's got going on there, but he needs to get it together.
Yeah, we got a little bit of that in New York with Jim Dolan. So when he starts to poke around a little bit and get involved in trades and get involved in you know, basketball operations, you got to say, whoa. So same thing, you know, Mitch Kupchak, you're in good hands, but when Buss starts to get involved and then he starts to turn players off, so as attractive as the Lakers used to be as a free agent destination, now people are, you know, word might get out. People are like, well, I don't really want to play for Jerry, you know, for Jerry Buss's kid.
Right.
So we'll see as a Laker fan. And now, you know, if the Clippers lock down Chris Paul, and then if they were to make the Garnett trade or maybe make the Eric Bledsoe trade and really – you know, go for it in 2014, 2015. So you got to think, you know, the Lakers aren't even going to be the best destination in L.A. So
right.
you got salary cap issues, and then you got health issues. So, yeah, I'm a little worried for the Laker fans that the Clippers might take over the city.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it, you know, real nice. We talking about the Clippers.
I know, man.
They are going to find a way to screw this up. They're going to find a way to screw it up. They definitely will. I really don't see Chris Paul signing with the Clippers. I don't. I don't. I think he's going to go somewhere else. You know, I mean, this is his big contract money. This is going to be the biggest contract that he can probably get throughout his career. Yeah. I don't know if L.A. is going – the Clippers is going to be that spot. They are going to be a mess. You can see the circus happening right now. I mean, you're going to trade DeAndre Jordan for KG and a coach? Really? Come on,
yeah,
man. Who does that?
That is a mess, man. That is a mess. Well, listen, man, thank you for a great call. Keep listening. You know, check us out next week, and we're going to talk NBA draft. And we might even, you know, have a special guest on. So definitely check it out. And we appreciate your call, man.
Yeah, appreciate your call.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Thanks,
man. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, man. Peace.
All right.
All right, be good.
So, listen, two, you know, great calls. And obviously this caller, man, he knows his basketball. So it's always great when people call in and we appreciate it. The one thing that I think that I'm sure when he argues with his cousin, you know, I think it's so hard for people, no matter what the age, right, unless they're really, really young, to give LeBron the credit because Michael and Kobe, Ray, are sacred to people. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, it's great to hear a Laker fan be like, look, I'm sort of like, I got to give LeBron his props. You know what I mean? I think he's so good, you have to. But it is hard for some people, and
you know,
I understand it, you know.
People have short memories, though, because remember Michael comes in the league, and he has that great playoff series against Boston, and his second year he breaks his foot, and he misses 60 games, and then after that he wins a lot of games, but they lose in the early rounds of the playoffs, and everybody kept saying Michael's great, and he can score, but he can't win. And it took 7 years to win. And Magic – who was the big dog at the time, wins in his rookie year. He plays center in game six for Kareem, goes down, and then he beats Daryl Dawkins and the Sixers in six games. And even,
yeah,
you know, Larry Bird wins in 81 in his second year. And even Dr.
Yeah.
J wins his ABA, and then he goes to the finals in 77, loses to Bill Walton in six games. So people forget Michael wasn't Michael in his first two, three, 4 years. Michael became Michael when he started to win the first of his six championships in his seventh year. And Kobe, remember in the beginning of his career, wasn't doing much until they brought Phil in. And then, now, granted, Kobe came straight from high school, but then he was the kid that shot too much. Remember that Utah series where he jacks up that air ball at the end of that game?
Gosh.
So even those guys took a few years to become who they were. So people really wrote LeBron. Well,
the opening night, LeBron was a beast. Opening
right.
night.
Well, that's true. And the thing is, the people that hate on LeBron wrote his story, and it's like they don't want to update the story. Like, the story's written, and it's in stone. But LeBron has won two championships now, and LeBron has earned himself a seat at the big boy table and
Hall
of Fame, you know, top 10 player of all time table. So I feel like people have written LeBron's story, but the chapter...
But great players, they know it. You see how Russell and Magic kind of, you know, they people look at this young man. I heard Jerry West talk about him. People look at LeBron and they're like, yo, he's got it. You know, I mean, and it's nice. Real quick, though, I want to sort of give a little props and love to Tim Duncan. What this gentleman did, big fundamentals, the greatest power forward ever, you know, slash, you know, whatever his years are at center are, but he's the best power forward. Even Barkley says it. But 8-for-18 last night, after an amazing game six, Ray, you know, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, a block, and he gives you 24 points. What else could the man
minutes.
Have done?
The
yes, what else could he have done?
43 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what else he could have done. You know, I just got to say, you know, we spoke about it. We both had him number 8 at our all-time. Listen, fans, check us out, man. Email us your top 15 NBA players of all time. You go back to rayandtaytoday.com, listen to the, you know, the last couple, 3 or 4 episodes during the finals. We gave you our top 15. They were pretty much the same, you know, different order for Ray and I, but we both had Duncan at eight. LeBron, I had him at 4, projecting out. Ray had him at 9. You know, Jordan at 1, Russell at 2. You know, we just had different things. But give us at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. You can email us your top 15, because it's a great debate. It's going to change, you know. And I want to ask you, with Duncan, would you move him up? Even though he lost 4-1, amazing career. He's going to play out his contract. 2 more years left, I think. Would you think about moving him up from 8? I know it's sort of hard to even imagine, you know, but and then Wade.
So to me, the only people that can move, I don't think Duncan can move up, because the top 7
right.
ahead of him are you know, where do you go from there? You'd have to win 2-3 championships, but you know, ahead of him are you know, Jordan and Russell and Wilt and
Jabbar,
you know, Kobe and Jabbar.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that he can move up.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with being a top 8 player. LeBron James, on the other hand, can move up, right? Because I had him at 9, given the fact that he's won 1 championship, but he has 4 MVPs. Now he has 2 championships. He may win another MVP and maybe wins a couple more championships. That might put him in the top 5 or 6. So to me, LeBron can move up. Dwayne Wade can move, you know, potentially into the top.
But that's what
25.
I want to ask you. We didn't, you know, we have him. We did our shooting guards, and we had him at number 4 behind, you know, Kobe, of course, MJ, Kobe, and Jerry West. Dwayne Wade has got 3 rings. He's 3-1, and he's great. Dwayne Wade is great, right?
3 rings, but that one series against Dallas, he won by himself.
35
you know,
a game.
Shaq helped him a little bit, but he averaged 35 a game. So,
yeah,
you know,
and got an MVP.
How do you break that top 3? I mean, you certainly don't pass Jordan, and you certainly don't pass Kobe. Can you pass Jerry West? Maybe, because Jerry West has one title, and he's, you know, lost nine times in the finals. But
not as good as a defender, though, as Dwayne Wade. And I think even Wes would admit to that. So that's where you hang your hat. Maybe we'll see what Wade could do in the next 4 years. You know, 4 or 5 years he's got easily left, and how his career ends. If he gets two more rings, then,
yeah,
you know.
If he gets
then
the five rings and is a material part of the – I mean, this isn't a Robert Horry situation. We love Big Shot Bob.
No.
But, you know,
Robert Horry was a role player
on his seven championships. Yeah, so
– Yeah, yeah. You don't even compare that. But, I guess to sum it all up, to me, LeBron proved why I projected him at four. And as much as, you know, we're Tar Heel guys, Barkley's my favorite player ever, MJ sort of probably my second, and just the man, him and Dr. J neck and neck, I am at a place now that I've never been with LeBron James, in the sense that I'm not saying he ever will be Jordan. And like he said, I'm LeBron James. My name's LeBron James. But I'll say this. He's at the big boy table, right? He's at the big boy table. And he is looking these guys in the eye. And I think sky's the limit. Because I think he can still improve in the post. And before he hits the down curve, his jumper could get better. And I think he still can improve next year and maybe the year after. I think he could win the MVP two more years in a row.
He shot 40% from three and 76% from the line. So like Magic and like Kidd, you know, he's improving his shooting throughout his career.
Did you hear the stat? He's improved his field goal percentage every season he's played in the NBA. That's incredible.
That's crazy. And the thing is, you could argue, oh, he gets a lot of dunks. That's true, but he also shoots a lot of threes. So even though he is going to the basket a lot and he gets a lot of fouls and he gets a lot of and-ones and he gets a lot of layups in transition, especially off that defense, he also shoots a fair amount of jumpers, which in the beginning of his career people were knocking him for. You know, but you know what's interesting about LeBron is that I bet you, and it would be nice to talk to these people. I mean, with the exception of, you know, maybe Jordan – and maybe Julius Irving, who were, you know, as physically talented as anybody ever. I bet you these guys, even Jordan and Doc, are probably jealous of LeBron in the sense of his physical, his combination of size and skill. So Jordan and Doc don't have anything to be, you know, ashamed about in terms of their physical athleticism, but his size. LeBron does what they do, but he does it with a body like Karl Malone's. And, you know, the big men are like, wait a minute, this guy is 6'8", 6'9", almost 250, 260. So the big men are saying, wait a minute, we're that big. Wes Unseld is that big. And you're thinking to myself, but this guy's running up and down like a gazelle. And then the little skinny athletic guys like Michael Jordan came in the league at 6'6", 195, is looking at LeBron like, really? If I had 50 more pounds, you know, I could have played, you know, five more years.
Yeah, he might be the perfect basketball specimen. Could be an incredible tight end in the NFL, like a Vernon Davis type. I see we got another caller. We're about to wrap the show up. You want to take this call, and then we can, you know, end everything off?
I think it's our boy. He
was listening. Okay, great. So, you know, I mean, listen, a great show. Next week, we might be on Monday or Tuesday, but, you know, we're sort of back in the normalcy, probably back at 6 p.m. Eastern. We will definitely, if nothing else, Wednesday night, man, we're going to have our NBA draft preview. Ray and I will talk about, you know, we'll even get into some free agency. We'll talk about these rosters. I wanted to talk about the Heat and Spurs roster a little bit. I think, obviously, you know, it could be it for Ginobili. There's a couple free agents. I feel kind of sad, Ray, that Tracy McGrady didn't get his ring. You know, I know it would have just been a hanging on. But, you know, we all love McGrady. McGrady was a
T-Mac.
Great player. Yeah, T-Mac. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Bosch, whether Battier and Allen will be back, but Mike Miller, Chalmers is a free agent. I think they should keep Birdman. So I think we'll get into that a little bit more next week with obviously the draft and rosters, and there might be some trades. So I'm excited. And, you know, listen, tune in. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook. We'll let you know, if we're on Monday or Tuesday. We'll definitely be giving you some hoops, before we do a little summer baseball, and then football will be back with us, the end of August. We'll be back 3 days a week. So, like I said, go back to the old shows, rayandtaytoday.com, and check it out, and email us your top 15 NBA players of all time at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Ray, any closing words, man?
No, great show. Hats off to the 2013 NBA champion, Miami Heat. Let's see if they can three-peat. Ironically enough, Pat Riley.
Riley's there again, right?
Right. Pat did the term or tried to anyway. So three-peat. Let's see if they can do it. And, yeah, we got the NBA draft next week. So tune in. Thanks for listening.
Working on
a
big guest for you. We're working on a big guest. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. We're working. We're working the back channels on that. So had a great time talking sports with friends. And tune in next week.
Yep. Ray and Tay Today, we are out. Peace. A little flavor for you. It's like I'm a boy on the beatbox with me.